John was sure of it now. He had seen the sign arise in the sky of the star, and he knew that the king whom he was longing to serve and greet had been born. Now he had a 10-day journey to meet up with his comrades, Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar, because they had gotten all the provisions for their long, long trip, hundreds of miles to Jerusalem. To go across the desert in those days was not an easy thing. You had to have a camel caravan because camels could make it through the desert without water. You had to have food and water for that whole time, and it was dangerous because there were robbers that would sometimes try to attack the caravans and rob them of anything valuable they had. So Artaban had to meet up with his friends who were ready for the journey. Now they had agreed that in 10 days, by midnight, if Artaban was not there, the three of them would go on without him. So he had 10 days to get from his home in Ecbatana to Babylon. And it was a journey of about 300 miles. Now, all night long, his fastest horse, named Vazda, had been waiting in the stall, but not very patiently. She'd been whinnying and shaking her bridle as if she were ready for this trip. She could sense something was happening. And finally, Artaban came out. He closed up his house. Remember, he had sold his house. He had sold everything in his house to buy the three jewels he now carried in his bag, the sapphire, the ruby, and the pearl. So he mounted Artaban, and they began to ride. And Artaban was good. She was a strong horse. She was a fast horse, and she had to be. So day after day, Vazda and Artaban galloped over the land. And they passed many amazing things on this journey. At one point, while she was galloping, Vazda accidentally surprised this whole huge marshland full of birds. It was like the very ground itself began to rise up and fly, wheeling in big circles above the ground with their wings shimmering in the sun and cries of surprise in the air. Vazda stopped for a minute. She was amazed at the sight, and then they galloped on again. They galloped through vast fields of peaches and figs. Sometimes they had to pass through mountain passes with tall mountains around them and going through the valleys that were dark with shadows. Sometimes Vazda had to swim across rivers with Artaban on her back. Sometimes they went through vast plains of just rice field, nothing but rice as far as you could see. And then finally, on the 10th day, they came to the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And then Artaban knew they were near Babylon. So finally, in the evening of the 10th day, he has until midnight, on the evening of the 10th day, they pulled up outside the walls of Babylon, and there was a date grove outside of it that they had to pass through. And as they were galloping, Vazda was almost spent. She was almost spent, and she would have loved to go inside the gates of Babylon and find a stall to sleep in and some fresh hay. But they couldn't stop yet. So as they're making their way through this date grove, Vazda began to walk very slowly, and her ears began to sort of prick up. And you could tell that she sensed some kind of danger or something different was up ahead. So Artaban watched her very closely because he knew Vazda could sense things before he could. So she was walking very carefully, watching where she even placed her hooves. And then finally, at the end of the grove, she just stopped suddenly altogether. And as Artaban looked down on the path, there was a man lying there, very, very still. So he dismounted Vazda, and he knelt down, and he could tell from the man's face and how he was dressed that he was one of the Hebrew people. He was one of the Jewish people. And as he knelt down, he could see that the man's skin wasn't the color it should have been. It was like a yellowish color, and his skin was very dry. And when he felt his forehead, it was burning hot. And Artaban knew that this man had a deadly fever that often came over people in that area. But as he picked the man's hand up, and then it just fell down again. And then he thought, oh, this man, he's already dead. I'm going to have to bury him. And then as he began to go away, he heard this, oh. And then the man's bony hand clutched the hem of Artaban's cloak and just held onto it. And then Artaban's heart sank, not because he was afraid, but because he saw in that moment he had a big decision to make. because the Magi, not only were they wise men and studiers of the stars, but they were healers. And Artaban had on him, on his very person, the kind of herbs and medicine that could help this man get better. And he knew that if he didn't care for him, this man would die that night. And he also knew that if he did care for him, he would miss his meeting with his comrades. What a decision to make. He didn't know what to do. On the one hand, if he delayed his journey, he would miss meeting the king for whom he had sold everything and was willing to give up everything. On the other hand, if he didn't do that, this human being would die when he could save his life. So Artaban prayed to the God that he knew. "O God of purity," he said, "O God of wisdom, please show me what to do. Should I care for this human life, or should I go ahead on my journey to meet the king?" Well, he prayed, and then he got out his bag of medicine, and he knelt down. He got water for this man. He dribbled it through his lips. He put water on his forehead to try to bring the fever down. He mixed a potion of his healing herbs, and he fed that through the man's lips. And hour after hour through the night, he cared for the man. And by the morning, the man was stronger, strong enough to sit up. And he sat up and he said to Artaban, when he had come to himself again and the fever had broken, he said, "Who are you and why are you here?" And Artaban said, "I am Artaban, a Magi, and I am on a long journey to Jerusalem to seek a king who has been born. And this king will be a prince and a deliverer of all people." And he said, "But I can't delay anymore. I must go now, for I must meet my comrades. And they have probably have left already." Then the man, who was so grateful for what Artaban had done, he said, "May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless you and prosper you on your journey." And then he said, "I have nothing to give you. I have no silver or gold to give you, but I can give you this. I know that this king you seek will not be born in Jerusalem. Our prophets know from our holy scriptures that he will be born in Bethlehem. So go to Bethlehem to find this king you seek." "Thank you," Artaban said. And then he gave the rest of his wine and food to the man. And he said, "Here, eat this. And when you're strong enough, go inside the gates of Babylon and find other of your Hebrew people. And they will care for you until you're completely well again. But now I must go." Well, Vazda had been able to rest during the night, for now it was dawn. He was there for hours, and it was now the dawn of the next day. He got back on Vazda, and he had 3 more hours to go before he got to the temple where his comrades had been waiting for him. And when he got there, his heart sank. There was nothing. There was a big hill in this area where the temple was, and he looked, and there was no sign of the caravan, nothing. He went to the top of the hill and looked around as far as he could see. He couldn't even see them in the distance. And then he looked some more around the hillside, and there was a little stubble of broken bricks, and there was something poking out of one of the bricks. So he went over and pulled it out, and it was a piece of parchment with words on it. And he opened it up, and it said, "Artaban, we have waited long past midnight. We can delay our journey no longer. We have gone to greet the king. Follow us across the desert that we might greet him together." Artaban just dropped the parchment and put his head in his hands. Follow them across the desert? How could he follow them across the desert? He has a spent horse, no food, no water, no camels. And what he was going to have to do now was go back to Babylon, ride 3 hours back to Babylon, sell his blue sapphire, the color of the midnight sky, and buy a caravan of camels, food and water to get him across the desert by himself. And he prayed again. He said, "Oh God of mercy, who knows if even now I have missed my chance to greet the king because I delayed by doing this act of kindness." Tomorrow, not tomorrow,